The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Do you ever feel stuck on a hamster wheel, constantly running but getting nowhere? The secret is actually quite simple. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place. Personally and professionally. It's time to get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living. Now, here's your host, Deborah Jane Wells.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening. This is Deborah Jane Wells. Thanks for tuning in to our show. Today's theme is Lessons in Living, Part 2 of 2. Through my writing, speaking, singing, radio show, and signature coaching programs, I help individuals and organizations learn to harness the transformative power of love to get unstuck and step into their greatness. When you choose to stop living as a victim of circumstance and fear-based limiting beliefs, and instead embrace the transformative power of loving yourself unconditionally, your experience shifts from breakdown to breakthrough. Choosing to fuel yourself with constructive core energy based in love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude produces a life of generous, effortless, gracious flow filled with faith, hope, prosperity, peace, and joy. Choosing love as your core energy changes everything, your perceptions, opportunities, relationships, and priorities. When love transforms your relationship with yourself, it can't help but transform your personal life, your work, and the world. This week is the second of two episodes in which I share the complete set of 11 lessons in living from my book, Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life, released by Hay House Balboa Press in June 2013. Today's show encompasses the lessons of hope, courage, and triumph shared in chapters 9 and 10. They are based on deeply personal stories from my life and my clients' lives and offer a glimpse of the lessons we learned about the life transformation that's possible when you fall in love with yourself unconditionally. In this first segment, I share two client stories from Chapter 9, The Lesson of Core Strength. According to fitness experts, many people are not familiar with the term core strength training, or they think it refers only to six-pack abs. Sports Fitness Advisor's description is much broader. They say, core strength training may be a relatively new buzz term in the fitness industry, but coaches and athletes have understood its value for many years. The core region consists of far more than just the abdominal muscles. In fact, core strength training aims to target all the muscle groups that stabilize the spine and pelvis. It's these muscle groups that are critical for the transfer of energy from large to small body parts during many sporting activities. My client Lori could easily be a poster child for core training. She works out at the gym regularly, not to mention completing 60-mile bike rides on the weekends and a run along the water several times a week. Even so, in Lori's book, real core strength training takes more than cardio, ab, and back work. In her words, the real core is even further in. While many might be envious of Lori's healthy weight and physical fitness, she's a perfect example that being lean and fit is not a guarantee for feeling fulfilled and whole. If you encountered Lori in person, you would see a smart, successful, attractive woman who appears to have it all together. You might even feel a twinge of resentment that she makes it look so easy, but her genuine thoughtfulness, authenticity, and gentle heart are irresistible. Those who know her well marvel that she retains that authentic kindness in the face of the challenges she has experienced over the years. At one point, Lori was on the verge of bankruptcy, having gone from an extraordinary net worth to serious trouble. It certainly wasn't from excessive spending or waste. Lori was always a saver and independently built her net worth through hard work and successful investments. Prior to the U.S. economic meltdown, her years of careful saving and frugal living were paying off. Then overnight, the real estate crisis transformed many of her investments from assets to liabilities. During that difficult time, a man who had been her friend for 10 years became more, and they moved in together. It's amazing what you discover when you live with someone. Over time, it became obvious to her that even a long-term friendship did not necessarily segue into a healthy, intimate relationship. Even so, she didn't give up easily. Her nature is to assess any problem and try to fix it, even if the problem lies well outside her control. The 1-2 punch of devastating financial results and a deeply disappointing relationship took a toll on core strengths that had long enabled Lori to quickly solve problems and put things right. The most devastating casualty was a loss of trust in herself. That distrust began spreading like a virus until she was questioning not just her financial and relationship judgment, but nearly every decision she faced. Eventually, the level of her personal discomfort told her things had to change, but she couldn't seem to find her way back to trusting herself and knowing she was enough. At the recommendation of a friend, Lori visited my website and read the success stories of others who had worked with me. Lori said, "I finally recognized that I needed a tune-up. I had paid attention to personal growth for many years, immersing myself in the work of Dr. Wayne W. Dyer, Deepak Chopra, and others. Nonetheless, somehow, I had gotten off track. My first conversation with Deborah sold me. Step by step, our work together provided me with much-needed course corrections to deal with the distrust and discomfort I was feeling. I learned that recognizing those feelings and dealing with them was an important first step toward the changes I desired. Carving the time for coaching out of my endless to-do list was an important commitment to and investment in my relationship with myself." Somewhere along the way, Lori stopped trusting herself and started measuring herself by other people's opinions and standards. We talked at length about the 5 agreements of spiritual teacher and author Don Miguel Ruiz, based on ancient Toltec wisdom. In his book, The 5th Agreement, he suggests using doubt as a tool to discern the truth. He wisely counsels never to treat what is true for someone else as your personal truth. Instead, listen with respect, curiosity, and discernment. There is no need to be afraid of listening to others, since you always have the ability to apply your own discernment and determine if what you hear resonates with your truth. Connecting deeply with others allows for the possibility that they will awaken within you a personal truth that lies sleeping. Suddenly, the fact that Lori had doubts about herself was not necessarily a problem, but a gift. Lori found the strength to terminate the relationship that was sapping her energy and eroding her confidence. She took thoughtful, careful, gentle steps that led to a compassionate and clean break. Her relief at getting herself back was powerful and palpable. She said, "The most important change I've made is turning my focus inward for answers and strength. I needed to be reminded not to look to others to convince me of my own value." When Lori said the real core is even further in, she was referring to the fact that long before a strong core described physical fitness, the term was used to describe a different kind of strength, the strength it takes to trust yourself, to find wisdom within, and to live by the light of your own truth. Here are some words by famous authors. Johann Wolfgang von Goethe: "As soon as you trust yourself, you will know how to live." Shakti Gawain: "When I'm trusting and being myself, everything in my life reflects this by falling into place easily, often miraculously." An unknown author: "If you really put a small value upon yourself, rest assured that the world will not raise your price." Alexandre Dumas: "A person who doubts himself is like a man who would enlist in the ranks of his enemies and bear arms against himself. He makes his failure certain by himself, being the first person to be convinced of it." Winnie the Pooh: "You are braver than you believe, smarter than you seem, and stronger than you think." as Lori continues to live her truth. Her self-confidence, self-esteem, and finances continue to improve. She is making clear choices about everything from her career to a long-troubled relationship with her parents. She has begun fostering a guide dog for a local charity, a long-buried desire that has the potential to bring self-fulfillment, laughter, and energy into her life. Until she honored and made room for it, that dream had remained a quiet wish that sat in her heart, waiting for its time to come. For more insights into the power of ancient Toltec wisdom, read The Four Agreements and The Fifth Agreement by Don Miguel Ruiz. The Lesson of Baby Steps. When we use the term baby steps, we often do so with an inherent judgment, as though someone taking baby steps forward is not to be taken seriously. Imagine a news story that describes one politician's plan as making great strides, while another's represents only baby steps. Our inner judge might well interpret that to mean that the second politician is perhaps too cautious and uncertain, while the first is confident and self-assured and knows where he is going. The truth of the matter, however, is that we underestimate what it takes to make baby steps. Babies and toddlers, the baby step experts, experience the world at a heightened level of awareness, using all of their senses to take in new data and expand their knowledge base to achieve new goals. Maybe we denigrate baby steps because their goal is often a simple one: a parent's hug, a much-loved toy, a cookie, or just a frolic in the direction of greater freedom. The fact is that the wild, wobbly gait of the new walker defies our assessment that baby steps are cautious. They are not. They are bold and intrepid, risking injury or failure with hope and a brave heart. When adults take baby steps to improve their lives, they are always on journeys of great courage and importance. In fact, some very famous people have honored the small destination-conscious steps that move all of us forward. Here is what some of them have said. Antoine de Saint-Exupéry: what saves a man is to take a step, then another step. Martin Luther King Jr.: take the first step in faith. You don't have to see the whole staircase, just take the first step. Conrad Hilton: success seems to be connected with action. Successful people keep moving. They make mistakes, but they don't quit. Helmut Schmidt: whoever wants to reach a distant goal must take small steps. Theodore Roosevelt: I dream of men who take the next step instead of worrying about the next thousand steps. And 13th century Persian poet Rumi: your mind, this globe of awareness, is a starry universe. When you push off with your foot, a thousand new roads become clear. My client Lily will proudly tell you that she walked her way out of depression, taking baby steps one at a time. Lily is someone who would be described as strong but not aggressive. Giant strides are not her style. She is contemplative and serious, an introvert with a wry wit and a surprising humility about a lifetime of accomplishments. Lily and I first worked together when she participated in a life transitions group I facilitated. When the group sessions were complete, she chose to continue her personal growth work with me one-on-one. Lily said, "That discussion group set my feet on a spiritual journey. Along the way, I discovered, as many people do, that my spiritual journey had actually started long before. I just didn't recognize it until I stood in the backwash of many traumatic years and felt ready at last to see the path I was on." The focus of the discussion group was the art of change, flourishing in uncertain times. The insights resonated with me so powerfully that I knew I needed to continue exploring where I was and what the next steps might be. I'd gained some new language and tools and could see an open door before me where I'd never even noticed a door before. Life is actually an endless cycle of transition, honoring what has been, cherishing what is, learning when and how to say goodbye while keeping our hearts open to an unknown future that has yet to reveal itself. Promotion or layoff, marriage or divorce, a new birth or an empty nest, experiencing serious health challenges or a success we're not sure we'll be able to handle. We are all always in some stage of transition. Lily did an excellent job of describing one of the challenges for people in transition. They not only don't see an open door, but they often can't see any door at all. The transition from that discussion group to working with a life coach was a baby step that would turn out to be extremely powerful. While Lily had known me personally for more than a year, she wasn't familiar with life coaching at all. Like many others, she found that this insight-filled modality helped her recognize blocks and strengthen her own self-awareness. In her words, without self-awareness, you not only don't see the blocks, but you also don't see the opportunities. Although at the outset she couldn't articulate precisely what she hoped to accomplish by working with me, Lily trusted and followed her own intuition, certain she had gotten a glimpse of that open door and wanted to know how to step through it. Over time, she used her growing self-awareness to identify dreams and goals that were no longer black and white but filled with color and new energy. Lily said, "I knew that energy didn't come from Deborah, it came from within me. Working with her helped me look at my life in new ways that released my own energy and made it sing. I now choose my little battles with faith and a happy heart." Here are Lily's new key aspirations and inspirations. 1. I aspire to see with my heart into the hearts of those around me. 2. I aspire to treat myself and others with love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude. 3. I aspire to open myself to grace, letting it flow into and through me, guiding me through my day. 4. I aspire to recognize the divine design for me and be open to following the breadcrumbs on my path. And 5. I aspire to finish this life in harmony with God and myself. Viewing these aspirations and inspirations in terms of Abraham Maslow's famous hierarchy of needs, it is clear that Lily is functioning at the highest level, focusing on love, belonging, esteem, respect, creativity, and spirituality. Her life is an example of just how high you can climb, taking one baby step at a time, when you are willing to trust yourself and the universe. For more insights into embracing life's most difficult moments, read The Way of Transition by William Bridges. We'll stop there and take a short break, and we'll be back with more in 2 minutes.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com and click on the Current Offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up, fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the Current Offers tab on DJWLifeCoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work to reduce the rate of premature birth. The numbers have gone down in the past 5 years, but still, nearly 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States each year. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and community programs to help more moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
Be sure to friend us on Facebook. You can do it right now. Visit Facebook.com/Voice America or search for us at keyword Voice America.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll-free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah@djwlifecoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Hi, everyone. This is Deborah again. Welcome back to our show. In the previous segment, I shared two client stories of transformation as told in Chapter 9 of my book, Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life, released by Hay House Balboa Press in June 2013. In this segment, I'll continue sharing lessons of hope, courage, and triumph from Chapters 9 and 10, based on deeply personal stories from my clients' lives that offer glimpses of the lessons they learned about the life transformation that's possible when you fall in love with yourself unconditionally. Chapter 9, The Lesson of Behave As If. The Behave As If principle says that one potential way to create the new behaviors, environments, relationships, and feelings we want is to behave as if they were already present. This approach goes much deeper than the popular fake it till you make it idea. If you give serious thought to how you would like your life to feel, a key component in making it a reality might be a specific set of characteristics and behaviors you would need to exhibit to make it happen. You might even find that those characteristics already exist as a cultural role model. If, as Willie Nelson sings in his 1980 hit, your heroes have always been cowboys, and you were trying to shape yourself into that ideal image, there are some things you might emulate and others you might avoid. For example, you might attend the rodeo, take horseback riding lessons, and wear flannel shirts, jeans, and boots. On the other hand, you probably wouldn't wear pink, eat tofu, or read Oprah magazine. Your cowboy role model would become a lens through which your choices would become obvious and well within your control. You could begin modifying your packaging, skills, and actions to behave your way closer to how you'd like to feel and show up in your life. As your external attributes begin to align with your ideal image, those initial successes would reinforce your belief that you can succeed, providing just the positive energy boost you may need to make it the rest of the way to achieving your goal. My client Betty worked with me on using the Behave As If principle to help her transform some of her self-sabotaging thought and behavior patterns. If you were to meet Betty, it would never occur to you that she was a person with confidence problems. She greets the world with a cheerful smile and the appearance of a solid professional, sure of her ability and her unique skill set. The reality, however, is that she has a vision of how she'd like to show up in her life, and she thus far feels that she hasn't been able to fit herself inside that particular skin. When she considers why that is, Betty comes back to an idea that is all too common. She does a great job of taking care of, honoring, and watching over the other people in her life, but she herself falls far down on her priority list. In fact, if she wanted to be a cowboy, she probably wouldn't even make time to buy herself a pair of jeans. Meanwhile, she would make sure her children and clients had everything they needed to grow into their best selves. Like so many of us, the great irony was that Betty didn't need an external role model after which to pattern her transition to her ideal image. The behaviors Betty desired were already well within her core strengths. It just wasn't occurring to her to apply them to meeting her own needs. In the words of Malcolm S. Forbes, too many people overvalue what they are not and undervalue what they are. Using the Behave As If principle can be a great way to get a new habit going and convince ourselves we have what it takes to go the distance. One of the ways she follows through on meeting the needs of her family and clients is to post reminder notes in places she can't miss. As a result of our work together, she has started posting notes all over her house, reminding herself to notice and commit to meeting her needs and desires as well. The benefits of learning to love herself have turned Betty into a strong advocate for this complex and rewarding work. She says, "As a result of what I've learned in coaching with Deborah, I've engaged a colleague to serve as an accountability partner. I wanted a peer whose work is totally different from mine and who, like me, is willing to be held accountable and meet commitments not only to our clients and our families, but to ourselves. Recently, I started a newsletter for my clients. In the second issue, I talked about the importance of taking care of ourselves as well as taking care of everyone else in our lives. I shared my personal story with my clients, including the powerful return on investment I have received from investing my time, effort, and resources in working with a life coach. I know many of my clients will resonate with my story. My willingness to share it in an authentic way will likely open the door to even more powerful conversations between us. As Elizabeth Kubler-Ross put it, people are like stained glass windows. They sparkle and shine when the sun is out. But when the darkness sets in, their true beauty is revealed only if there is light from within. A powerful way to turn on that light of love within you and keep it burning brightly is to ask yourself many times each day, if I were my own beloved child or valued client, how would I take care of me right now? For more insights into recovering your authentic self and recognizing your vocation, read Let Your Life Speak by Parker J. Palmer. Chapter 10, The Lesson of the Journey. Life is a journey, not a destination. We've heard it so often we may be tempted to say blah, blah, blah. But the lesson of the journey repeats so often in our language, literature, and culture that there must be more to it than first meets the eye. Here's what some have said. The Tao, the journey is the reward. Buddha, it is better to travel well than to arrive. Carl Rogers, the good life is a process, not a state of being. It is a direction, not a destination. 13th century Persian poet Rumi, and you, when will you begin your long journey into yourself? Dr. Seuss, you have brains in your head, you have feet in your shoes, you can steer yourself any direction you choose. You're on your own, and you know what you know, and you are the one who'll decide where you go. The consensus among thought leaders is that the journey itself should be valued, respected, and enjoyed. Why then do we so often behave like tourists on a cruise who choose to sleep whenever the ship is at sea, thinking that the things worth experiencing are only found at the destinations? In doing so, we miss the magnificent sunrises and the moonlit nights, the feeling of expansive possibilities as we gaze out on the seemingly endless ocean, the soft caress of the ocean breeze. How ironic that such tourists purchase trinkets at their destinations to remind them of a journey they missed. Sam is a man who has always loved journeys. An avid cyclist, he had loved being physically active. But as he approached his 60th birthday, he began to feel that perhaps his best days were behind him. Even his bicycle, once a passion, now only served as a painful reminder that he wasn't quite as fast or as energetic as he used to be. Although Sam remained in good health, he had reason to be increasingly aware of his own mortality. His dad had died young, and Sam saw aging as mostly about loss. When he looked at people in their 80s and 90s, what he saw was the loss of energy, zest, and enthusiasm. When he looked in the mirror or got on the scale, he saw the 10 to 15 pounds he had never carried before. The vision he saw ahead of himself was one of slow decline, increasing losses, and a deep sadness. Sam first met me when he joined a life transitions group I facilitated. Moved by the possibilities for growth that he discovered in that group, he hired me as his personal life coach to help him sort out his feelings and create a more encouraging perspective on what lay ahead. In our initial session, I asked him for a wish list, three things he would like to change about his life. His three items were closely related: more energy, the ability to continue being physically active as long as possible, and a powerful desire to ride his bike again. Sam said he hadn't really been conscious of how long his bike had been gathering dust in the barn, but when he compared the life he wanted with the one he was living, his bike was a key indicator of what was missing. With his wish list in hand, we began addressing a wide range of topics in depth. Sam said, "While some people might have seen my fear of aging as normal or to be expected at my age, Deborah helped me recognize that I was actually choosing the very thing I feared the most every time I turned my back on the things I love." Whenever Sam walked away from his bike or the creative activities that fed his spirit by telling himself fun doesn't matter, he took another step closer to the life he dreaded, a life of restricted activity and lower energy, with a resigned and melancholy spirit. Every time he told himself his best days were behind him, he created a self-fulfilling prophecy. Shortly after we began to coach together, Sam called me with a surprise to share. He and his wife had both gotten new bikes, gone on a 3-day biking trip together, and spent the night at the top of Copper Mountain. Though he wasn't as fast as he once had been, he had loved every minute and knew his energy would increase as he got back in shape and continued letting go of his excess weight, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. With a huge smile in his voice, Sam told me that his 61st summer had turned out to be one of the very best times of his life. He added that a friend in her late 50s also just got a new bicycle, a present from her husband to celebrate her new lease on life after hip replacement surgery. Sam sees clearly that they can both still be riding bikes and living the lives they love many years down the road. Like many men, Sam doesn't wear his heart on his sleeve. Yet with the help of a supportive professional guide, he was able to connect with a part of himself that is deeply alive and filled with a passion for living. He says the ability to open that connection came in large measure from being respected and really listened to by his life coach. Sam may never have heard Dr. Seuss's version of The Lesson of the Journey, but he could easily add a few quotes on the subject himself. For more insights into appreciating the joy of the journey, read I Will Not Die an Unlived Life by Donna Markova. We'll stop there for another quick break and be back in just 2 minutes.
What's going on behind the scenes with your favorite Voice America show or host? For the latest news, visit the iRadio blog at iradioblog.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at djwlifecoach.com and click on the Current Offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up, fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the Current Offers tab on djwlifecoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Hi, I'm Joe Swedish, CEO of WellPoint. We proudly support the March of Dimes and all they do to reduce the rate of premature birth in the United States. Though premature births have recently declined, still 500,000 babies are born too soon each year. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and community programs that help moms and their babies live healthier lives. Please visit marchofdimes.com and join us in working together for stronger, healthier babies.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll-free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at djwlifecoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Hi, Deborah here. Welcome back to our show. We pick up where we left off with two additional lessons of hope, Courage and Triumph, based on deeply personal client stories as told in Chapter 10 of my book, The Lesson of Living with Intention. Living with intention is often misunderstood as living with white-knuckle willpower and staying the course, even if the course was set by others or by a younger, less experienced you. Another common misperception is that living with intention means creating a to-do list every day and checking off your tasks as you complete them. While checking off a task on a list may yield a yes reaction and a sense of accomplishment, the benefit is momentary. Neither is living with intention about superstition or even luck. The results you get from willpower, to-do lists, and luck are a poor substitute for the sense of abundance that comes from truly living with intention and mindfulness. My client Megan knows the real power of living with intention comes from within. Megan said, "This period has been the most stressful 4 years of my life, not exactly a time when I stopped to smell the roses. Learning about mindfulness and about living with intention changed my life. We are so used to forcing things, issues, concerns, challenges, that it seems amazing when we allow them to surface organically. Just set the intention and put it out there, and it will surface in a way that is effortless and clear. Closest thing to magic that I know of." Some people might find that a little woo-woo or new age. Nothing could be further from the truth. Setting an intention as living mindfully are things anyone can do. No magic, quackery, or pseudoscience involved. The power of living with intention flows naturally from Albert Einstein's conclusion, based on his famous E equals mc² equation, that everything is essentially energy, and from quantum physics principles that energy attracts like energy. Conceptually, setting an intention is very different from setting goals. Setting an intention is not about a short or long-term goal, something you will be doing in the future. Instead, when you set your intention, you focus on how you are being in the present moment. Many have fully grasped the benefits of mindfulness and living with intention. Here is what a few have said. Oliver Wendell Holmes. What lies behind us and what lies before us are tiny matters compared to what lies within us. Giancarlo De Grazzi. To embrace the wealth of the spirit, to revel in the wonders of life, to think, to remember, to dream, this is to know happiness. And Maya Angelou. Life loves to be taken by the lapel and told, "I'm with you, kid, let's go." Megan uses mindfulness to stay tuned to her intentions. Instead of living with anxiety and obsessing over perfection, her three-step process is actually quite simple. 1. Stop what she's doing and address any gremlin voices demanding perfection. 2. Check in to see if she is functioning with compassion for herself and others or trying to bludgeon herself and others into doing things perfectly. 3. Reaffirm her intention. Interestingly, Megan never set out to find a life coach, but synchronicity is a funny thing. The right thing happens at just the right time. A person you would love meeting appears, or a book you would love to read finds its way into your hands. Synchronicity was at work the day Megan first called me. Having heard about me from one of her professional colleagues and longtime friends, she contacted me to see if our areas of expertise might lend themselves to some sort of collaboration. We began the process of discovery by learning about each other's work. That put Megan in a 60-minute complimentary coaching session with me, and the rest is history. Megan's story is an amazing tale of transcendence and triumph. Over a period of 4 years, her life had become increasingly stressful. One challenge followed on the heels of another until she was drained, exhausted, angry, and sad, at risk for returning to the eating disorder she had beaten on her own years before. Like many people, Megan easily steps into a caretaker role. Her approach to her profession was further enabling that behavior. If people needed help and were having a hard time, she would take on their energy and exhaust herself trying to fix it for them. One client in particular was stuck for nearly 2 years. Megan continued to support that client and others while pursuing a graduate degree in her spare time. Meanwhile, Megan's beloved dog spent 18 months having tumors removed, going through rehab, wearing braces, and generally feeling very sick. Someone else to care for. Last but not least, Megan's family decided that this would be a good time to share some old family secrets with her. The conversation that ensued blew her idea of what her family was to smithereens. Idols fell, and her view of her personal world shifted. Megan said, "I had no idea how much I needed help. I hadn't realized how much I'd put my own needs on the shelf every day for the needs of others." As we worked together, Megan realized the harm she was doing to herself by not honoring or giving voice to the depth of her feelings about her situation. With a healthy dose of love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude, she finally got in touch with her feelings and began the painful but rewarding process of genuine communication. In the process, Megan came to understand that we are all doing the best we can with the love and light we have at the time. Her relationships are healthier because her family understands what she is going through. She has taken them off a pedestal, preferring to build real, honest relationships instead. Megan says the most meaningful changes to result from this work come from 4 major shifts in my consciousness. 1, seeing myself clearly. 2, understanding with grace why I do what I do and how my personal board members show up in supportive and dysfunctional ways. 3, practicing mindfulness, being able to stop and be fully present in the space between a thought and my response. And 4, choosing my life rather than allowing it to be dictated by everyone and everything around me. Megan followed a similar process when healing from her eating disorder. Through our work together, she realized those same core principles could be applied to any situation where she was allowing anxiety and perfectionism to taint her experience of life. For more insights into living with intention, read Live with Intention, Rediscovering What We Deeply Know by Marianne Rademacher. The Lesson of Connection. Imagine for a moment that you are a satellite. In the silence and the darkness of space, you regularly receive and transmit information to Earth. The communication works smoothly most of the time, and even if your signal is sometimes disrupted temporarily, the disruption rarely lasts very long. You go on your way, secure in your orbit, and in who and what you are, until something happens to disrupt your orbit or positioning significantly. In space, it could be a blast of excess energy from the sun. For a satellite that is turned away from its source, there is no option except to begin transmitting lost Earth repeatedly, with no assurance the signal will ever be heard. Those melancholy words, lost Earth, reflect disconnection from the only source the satellite knows. Unlike a satellite, when something disrupts our orbit and connections to our source, we might not even recognize that we are no longer communicating with our authentic self. In life, it could be a serious illness, a job loss, or just too many little challenges at one time. Unlike the satellite, our programming may keep us from crying out for help. Over time, if the connection between how we show up in the world and who we are at our core becomes weaker and weaker, our personal orbit becomes askew, and only a significant repositioning can put us back in touch and back on track. Meanwhile, during the time of that disconnection, the darkness and the silence within can become as profound as the vast darkness and silence of outer space. By now, you may be wondering what all this has to do with life coaching. When I met my client Cecilia, an expert in satellite technology, she described herself as having lost Earth. She realized that over a period of years, she had faced away or disconnected from her authentic self. With her wry sense of humor, she wondered if anyone would notice or try to assist her if she walked around saying, "Lost Earth." What does it look like when we disconnect from our essential, authentic selves? To an outside observer, it might look like life on a hamster wheel, busy, 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 no longer spending time doing things we used to love, like music, art, or outdoor activities. Those pastimes or passions slip away quietly, slowly. We are stuck out there in the darkness and the silence. The external self has turned away and cannot see or receive from the authentic self any longer. Cecilia didn't disconnect from her true self because of solar flares or solar wind. Instead, she disconnected for the same reasons many of us do: physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual burnout. This kind of disconnection rarely happens overnight. It is more likely to creep up on us over time as life becomes increasingly complex. It might start with putting a spouse through law school and then dealing with marital problems, a divorce, a complex demanding job, and constant business travel. All of this continues until there is so little left of the authentic self and its many strengths that the next thing that comes along is just one thing too many. Staying connected to your authentic self is not just a nice thing to do, it's essential. T.S. Eliot wrote, "We shall not cease from exploration, and the end of all of our exploring will be to arrive where we started and know the place for the first time." And Carl Jung said, "Your vision will become clear only when you can look into your heart. He who looks outside only dreams. He who looks inside also awakens." In Cecilia's case, the one thing too many was becoming responsible for a father with multiple illnesses, including one that was slowly robbing him of his vision. As his health continued to decline, her responsibilities continued to escalate with exhausting complexity. Move him into assisted living, deal with the realtors, arrange for the sale of his house, make sure his taxes were paid, meet with his doctors, make critical health care decisions. At some point, she made a conscious decision that she didn't have time for anything but work and her father. She consciously placed the things that brought her joy and were at the heart of her truest self on a back burner. She was just too busy to take care of herself, too. But even after her father died, nothing changed. She found herself still too busy, even though her responsibilities on his behalf had diminished to serving as executor of his estate. She was out of the real estate business and the healthcare business, but was immersed instead in the business of wrapping up someone else's life. By this time, she knew she needed help. She had worked with an IPEC life coach once before and knew that help was out there somewhere. One day, she started actively looking. Her lost earth signal was going to be transmitted at last. In Cecilia's words, "I didn't want to talk about my feelings. I wanted to know what I could do to change my life." Having experienced an IPEC coach in the past, she started by researching coaches on IPEC's website. As it happened, I was their featured coach that day. We connected through my life coaching website and set up a 60-minute complimentary session. Our conversation revealed that we had more in common than living in Colorado. Many of the aspects of Cecilia's authentic self that had been left by the wayside were alive and well in me. A love of music, creative endeavors, and helping others provided a strong basis for connection between us. In the years leading up to my own burnout, I too had left them by the side of the road, too busy with work and taking care of everyone else to realize the long-term damage that would result. As we worked together, Cecilia began to rebuild her own internal connections. Little by little, her lost self reemerged. At her optometrist's office, she happened to notice the collection of ukuleles and asked about buying one and learning to play it. Life coaching gave me tools to help me navigate my life. "When you have lost earth and lost your way," Cecilia says, "what you need most is a new way to navigate." Once she got started, Cecilia learned to set her intention and tap into more and more of her authentic self. Beyond the rediscovery of her joy in music and quilting, she began looking seriously at what she'd like to do when she retires. How could she prepare? What might she bring to the next chapter of her life in light of all she had learned? Today, she has a business model and website that will help her assist other women in using creativity to deal with some of the challenges she has faced. She is fully engaged with a new vision of her future and has new tools to help her should she ever find that she has once again, even momentarily, lost earth. For more insights into finding lasting joy and fulfillment, read The Happiness Prescription, The Ultimate Happiness Prescription by Deepak Chopra. And that brings us the last of the 11 lessons for living included in my book, Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life. One of the interesting things I am reminded of repeatedly is that life is a journey, not a destination. And because life is a journey, revelation is never sealed. It continues unfolding to support deeper personal growth. What I'd like to do in the final minutes of today's show is share some bonus content with you. It's a paradigm that evolved for me after I published the book. It has proven a simple but powerful tool for noticing when I may have started to stray from the love-fueled path, What particular fear-based lies and illusions are at the heart of my chosen discomfort and unhappiness? And the nature of the realignment that will restore me to peace and joy? I call this paradigm my five-part mindset for living in flow. You might think the hard part would be creating a substantive, meaningful, well-written, 266-page book that includes moving stories from your own life, inspiring stories from your clients' lives, and a proprietary framework for turning unexplored possibilities into fulfilling realities. And that once you'd publish said book, you'd live in a state of nonstop wonder, gratitude, and celebration. That would be precisely how you'd respond if you continued to fuel yourself with love rather than fear. But every moment in life is an opportunity to remember all we know about love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude, or LRCCG, producing a life of flow filled with faith, hope, prosperity, peace, and joy, or FHPPJ, or to forget it entirely and, as my IPEC instructor used to say, climb back into the fear-fueled catabolic canoe. If you'd like more on catabolic energy, visit my website at djwlifecoach.com. So this period after publishing my book and before the initial publicity gains momentum has offered me the perfect opportunity to benefit from flopping around in the mire a bit due to temporarily forgetting what I so ably applied while writing the book, that love-fueled flow, not fear-fueled force, enhances joy-filled productivity and fosters peace. And to remember how quickly painful, fear-fueled, unrealistic performance measures can suck the life out of any experience. In the process of using every truth, tool, and trick in my satchel to recenter myself multiple times a day in LRCCG so I'd experience FHPPJ once again, I expanded my simplified three-part job description, which I shared in my May 10, 2013 blog post, into a five-part mindset to better anchor it in my consciousness. Here's the result. Part 1, be here now. Show up and bring the best I have to offer in this moment. Not last year's best or next year's best or someone else's best. Just the best I've got to offer with the love and light I'm giving myself access to at this time. Quit judging myself as insufficient. I am always enough, just as I am, right here and now. Part 2, live the truth. God is God, I am God's, and love is the greatest power in the universe. My source is excellent, limitless, and reliable. No external force can block my highest good. Universal abundance flows to and through me. Whatever my circumstances, I know who I am and whose I am. I am a unique, co-creative expression of the divine. How could that ever not be enough? Part 3. Commit to the highest good. Universal love is always unfolding the highest good for all, in all, through all. Love, respect, curiosity, and compassion reveal in advance the highest good. My part is to align myself with the highest good by keeping myself free of fear and holding myself wide open as a clear channel for love and light. Way cool. Part 4. Express gratitude. Well, feeling grateful is a nice start. Don't stop there. Express it to and for every being, encounter, and experience. Appreciate my life. Know that everything's an opportunity. Expect it. Go looking for it. Notice it. Say thank you. Gratitude fosters flow, and it starts with being grateful for every aspect of myself, the attributes that thrill me, and those that frustrate the heck out of me and everyone who knows me. They are all essential elements in my role in unique expression of the divine. I totally rock. Part 5. Trust God with the details. Resist the urge to overmanage the minutiae and end up trapped in the weeds. Even though I'm bright and creative, that level of specificity is way above my pay grade. Remain focused on my responsibilities, the first four parts, and stay tuned to the universal frequency for further instructions on where to go, what to do, when, and with whom. When I discern, focus, and follow through, the universe works wonders through me. My job becomes so much easier when I allow God to be God. When it comes to my book, the first four parts of my job comprise fully investing all forms of my energy, time, talents, and money in appreciating and capturing the power and nature of the transformation I experienced, reverse engineering what happened, creating a framework for teaching the principles and process to others, coaching my clients with the framework and gathering their stories of transformation, testing and refining the framework and stories based on client feedback and results, turning all of it into a book, choosing the optimal publisher, and leading robust publicity before and after the book's release. My role in Part 5 is to release any specific expectations about the nature, magnitude, and timing of what will result. Books sold, royalties earned, new clients enrolled, etc. Success consists of engaging fully in the process and remaining completely detached from the precise outcome. It's God's job to determine the end result. I get to enjoy it, whatever form it takes, because universal love is always unfolding the highest good for all, in all, through all. I frequently hear from readers and listeners that they are encouraged and gain even deeper insight when I share my personal ups and downs. They learn how to sustain faith and hope while treating themselves with respect and compassion when they too stray from the path. A Zen mistress living a perpetually serene life in a mountain retreat would soon be of little use to anyone living in the real world. Fortunately for all of us, it would appear I have little risk of transitioning to that sort of existence anytime soon. Hallelujah! Opportunities will abound for the foreseeable future. And that, my friends, brings us to the end of today's show. Many thanks to my incredible Voice America production team that keeps me on track and makes this show possible. When you explore my Voice America host page, you'll find more information about upcoming episodes and the nature of life coaching, with opportunities to listen to recordings of past episodes, purchase my book, subscribe to my social media feeds, and sign up for special offers to guide you on your journey to wholeness. This is Deborah Jane Wells signing off for now. Remember, when you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. You are loved and loving, blessed in a blessing. And so it is. Namaste.
Thanks again for listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life. Please rejoin your host, Deborah Jane Wells, again next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's time to get off that hamster wheel and start fulfilling your destiny by creating a life you love.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.